Well, good morning. Today is March the 22nd, and I just want to welcome you to worship service. Here at Breckenridge United Methodist Church, we are happy to be worshiping with you this morning. Our mission is to live as disciples by connecting people to God and one another through our ministry and our mission. Let me open with a word of prayer. God of grace and mercy, bless us as we gather and worship from our various locations. Lord God, cleanse our thoughts, purify our hearts, and pour out your spirit upon each residence in each place, that we may perfectly magnify your holy name. Holy Spirit, engage our hearts to move as you move. Come, equip us, challenge us, comfort us, teach us, rest upon us, inspire us in your presence. In Christ we position ourselves. Amen. Our announcements are: all activities at Breckenridge United Methodist Church are currently suspended until further notice. We pray that each one are being safe and that you are continuing to protect yourself and put measures in place that will keep you safe. I'd like to share with you a pastoral prayer as I hold each and every one up and dear in my heart. Let us pray. O Lord, in a world that seems to have its ups and downs, we come to you this morning, not just seeking answers, but seeking strength and courage for the days ahead. During this time, may we be able to put aside the concerns of our daily lives, let go of all the demands that crowd upon us, and simply be here to your spirit and your word. In the spirit of Psalm, may we still know that you are God. We offer you these prayers of thanksgiving for life and all those things that make life good. We acknowledge that we as humans must test your patience, but we know that your love is all-encompassing, never-ending, always forgiving, and here with us, for you are our hope. This is our hope, that you love us unconditionally. You are the hope for the world, and it is in this hope that we live and move and have our very being. God, this morning, we lift up the people in this community, in our great state, and around the world. That the family and friends of those who have lost loved ones, we pray that they are comforted. Give them strength and courage for the days ahead. Help us to find ways to love your people as you have loved us. Surely, we know that you love us. Consider each one of us important, and we are part of your creation. Help us to be more like your Son, Jesus, who you sent to show us how to live with love and respect for all people. Today, O God, we ask your blessings on all those who are role models and who are encouragers. We ask that you just keep your hand of protection on each and every one of us. Loving God, we ask that you be with us, that you just continue to guide us and to shape and to make and to mold us. We know that you are the Father to us all, and you love us more than anyone could. This morning, we lift up those in our congregation, those in our community who have asked us to pray for them. We lift up those who are sick and hurting in any way. We lift up each and every one who stand in a need for your touch. We ask that you give them peace and strength to face their situation. Give strength to the addict. Allow them to be delivered. Comfort those who are victims of violence. Help them to find ways to be comforted. We ask that you feed the hungry, that you be with those who are going to court hearings or have litigations, we ask that you be with them. Father God, we also lift up those who are bullies, persons who are perpetrators and predators. Lord, we ask that you just touch them, for they truly need a touch from you. We ask for prayer for those who name call. Lord, for they too need your love. Use people in their lives to show them a different path, a path of goodness and hope. God, we ask you to help us to be agents of change in this world. Give us the courage to speak out about our faith and to teach those around us about your love and to lead by example, showing and speaking with respect to all we come in contact with. All these things we pray and we ask in the mighty name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For you truly are the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to take the opportunity and thank you for praying with me as we pray for this community, as we pray for one another, and as we lift our current situation up to the Lord, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even imagine, ask, or think. I thank you for your hearts and your attentiveness. And so at this time, I just want to deliver the message to you. Our message is titled, A Faith That Triumphs in Trouble. The scripture reading will be coming from the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5. And I'll be reading it into your hearing from the New Living Translation. And it reads as follows. Faith brings joy. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserving privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character of strength, our confidence of hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Let us pray. Gracious God, I thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence and to speak to your people. Lord, I pray that I decrease and you increase. Allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in thy sight, for you truly are my rock and my redeemer. Gracious God, I ask that as your words go forth, they minister to our hearts. They're etched in, and our lives are forever changed. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone join me and please say amen. Well, I don't get an opportunity to see your lovely faces, but I do hold you in my heart. And I want to share this message that God has laid upon my heart about a faith that triumphs in trouble. You know, as I was preparing and I was thinking about this message, I got to thinking that in the movies, heroes are the ones that come in and they save the day. They don't expect praise, acknowledgement, or reward, and they are known for their bravery, integrity, selflessness, generosity, wisdom, and strength. When the movie is ending, they just ride off into the sunset and they live happily ever after. But that's just the movies. The Bible is full of stories of great heroes, but these heroes were not always brave, hopeful, courageous, strong, or selfless. They often faced difficulties and their faith was tested, yet their stories help to develop our faith. In many ways, they are people just like you and me, missing the mark and dropping the ball, but still having an impact on the lives of others that they come in contact with. But this is nothing new. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul was one of those heroes. He wrote a letter to the church in Rome to encourage them to learn from his mistakes and to maintain and have hope. Paul's conversion experience on the Damascus Road is a motivating force in his life. He demonstrates a strong commitment to know and to serve Jesus Christ. His passion and love for the Lord was obvious, as is seen in Scripture. Jesus is always central in his thinking. Whatever situation Paul found himself in, whether it was working as a tent maker, preaching to the crowd, or sitting in chains in prison, Paul kept the faith. Paul kept faith, and it is this Apostle Paul who writes to encourage all to have faith in God. I'm sure that Paul understood that everyone has some measure of faith. So the question is not if one has faith. Everyone has faith. The atheist has faith in his intellectual ability, his rational reasoning, he has removed the possibility of God. Others have faith in their ability, skills, connections, friends, family, and themselves. Everyone has a measure of faith. So the question is not if you have faith, but what is your faith in? Most people, even Christians, decide what they are going to do by what they see first. But this nullifies the movement of God. Faith must precede sight if we are going to be or to have biblical faith. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." During these times of testing, it is important to keep the faith in God. We are living in a time of worldwide spread panic, and people are losing sight of what God says in Psalms 91. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence." It is important in these days and during this time to never lose hope in the promise of God. Listen, I heard a story about a man who had a very hard life, but he kept the faith. When he was only 7 years old, his family was forced out of their home. It was at that point that he actually had to work to help support the family. Can you imagine that? 7 years old, having to help to support the family instead of enjoying his life as a child. It wasn't too long after that his mother died. At the age of 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. He wanted to go to law school, but his education wasn't sufficient. He went into debt to become a partner in a small store. 3 years later, his business partner died, leaving him with insurmountable amount of debt to repay. He asked a longtime girlfriend to marry him, and she said no. Eventually, he did get married to a great woman, and tragedy struck again. Their 4-year-old son died. Only one of their 4 children lived to adulthood. He ran for the Senate, and he lost. He ran for vice president and lost. But he kept the faith and became the 16th president of the United States of America. His name was Abraham Lincoln. Many consider him to be a hero and one of the greatest presidents our country has ever known. Yet this man faced many challenges, but he never gave up. Life has its ups and downs, its challenges and opportunities. At times it may be exciting, and at times life can also be disappointing. But in everything, keep the faith in God. Many people say that they believe in God, but they fail to believe Him. I want to say this: believe God. one word in this passage that really jumped out to me and that has kind of struck me or impacted me, and that word is keep. Keep implies the need to have faith when the going gets tough. If ever there's a time of toughness, that time is now. Anyone can believe when things are great, when the sun is shining, when you have plenty of money in the bank, when your health is good, when the surgery was successful, and when everything is going right. But it's much harder to believe God when the sky is dark, cancer shows up, the country shuts down, income dries up, your friends betray you, you lose the job, the pastor disappoints you, or a loved one dies. All of us need to keep believing when times are hard. So I want to encourage you, look to God, for he is the answer. Keep faith in God. Looking at our passage of scripture, it is written to a people who were in the midst of hard times. Paul encourages them to keep the faith. Now, I want to provide you with just a little bit of background. Rome was the hub of the Roman Empire, which is at the center of political battles and heavy government. Rome was influenced by Greek mythology, and they also participated in the practice of emperor worship, known as the imperial cult. Most of the people worshiped several different gods and demigods depending on their own situation and preference. For this reason, Rome contained many temples, shrines, and places of worship. Most forms of worship were tolerated. However, that tolerance was largely limited to the religions that were polytheistic, meaning the Roman authorities didn't care who you worshiped as long as you included the emperor and didn't create problems for any other religious system. This was a problem for Christians because for Christians, they only believed in one God, and they refused to worship the emperor or acknowledge him as any kind of God. This caused a problem for them, and as a result of their belief, they began to experience horrible persecution. In the midst of all the killing of the Christians, it was in this setting that Paul wrote the letter to encourage them to keep the faith. I believe that Paul was inspired by David, who wrote Psalms 121, a favorite passage of scripture that we today often use to encourage others when they are going through difficult times. In it, the psalmist convinced that God can help because he is the maker of heaven and earth. Now, I just want to take a minute to clarify some things, because oftentimes people assume that the man is looking to the hills for help. In the original text in Psalms, the first line is a rhetorical question, because on first sight in entering the city, travelers would see hills, tall walls with temples in it. He lifts his eyes to the hills, and what he saw made him a little anxious. But then he lifts his eyes higher and looks beyond to the very one who made those hills, the one who made heaven and earth. Then emphatically and boldly he states, "My help comes from the Lord." He knows that the Maker himself is on your side. There is no need to fear anything that has been made. Nothing is beyond God's reach and control. And this is true for us today. A basic point that it might seem hardly worth making, but it's where the psalmist starts. And if you don't remember anything else that I've said today, remember this: our help comes from God. Sometimes it's good to be reminded of the obvious truth. Have you ever just watched a little child when they need help? Who do they go to? Who do they turn to when they feel anxious? They turn to their parents. Even grown children, when they find themselves in difficult situations, they turn to mommy and daddy because they see them as greater than any problem that they may be facing. To a toddler, there's nothing mommy and daddy can't fix. When a toy is broken, they take it to mommy or daddy and they say, fix it. To a toddler, it doesn't matter how big the problem, they believe mommy and daddy can fix it all. As a matter of fact, some of our grown children feel the same way. It doesn't matter what they may face, they go to mommy and daddy believing that they can assist. So however big the thing is you're worrying about, remember, we have a daddy in heaven. Our Father in heaven, our God is bigger, much, much bigger. And for Christians, and those are words that we should be comforted by. Our world is broken. Some relationships are broken. Some people are broken. Some of us are broken. And we have a Father that we can take everything broken to and say, here, Daddy, please fix it. God is on your side. He is our Father in heaven. So run to him, trust him, and believe in him because he cares. I'm reminded of a story. Years ago, my son's uncle moved to San Francisco for a little while. He said one day when he got off of work, everything started to shake. He didn't know what was going on, and so he was scared, and so he began to run and take cover. When the shaking stopped, he ran outside because he thought the world had came to an end, only to find out it was an earthquake. When there's an earthquake, buildings, big buildings, sometimes collapse while other buildings stand firm. They go through identical tremors, but the response is quite different. Right now, the earth is shaking, and some people are too. We talk about keeping the faith and standing strong because we want to make sure that when the inevitable tremors of life come our way, our faith does not collapse. It will stand firm at that time. So I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, while the earth is shaking, stand strong in your faith in God. Paul says we can rejoice in suffering because we are a people of hope. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's, again, Romans 5, 3 through 8. So how can we have hope when everything looks hopeless? Paul says to rejoice. And there are three things that I want to leave with you. The first thing is, depend on God to show up. Rejoicing in suffering does not mean celebrating when bad news comes, but it does mean that we can believe God is at work. When we go through shaking, we often pray and see God more intensely than at other times. My greatest times of growth have been when I have reached the end of my rope and all I can do was grab hold of Jesus' hand. God uses situations to get our attention, and these situations cause us to solely depend on him. The second thing I want to leave you with is know that God provides. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, Paul reveals that he has suffered from a thorn in his flesh. God was so concerned about Paul not becoming proud. He allowed this to happen to him to prevent him from becoming conceited. In our current situation, God says to us that his grace is sufficient. And even when we feel weak, helpless, powerless, it is making us strong that we can have confidence in him. His grace is not an abstract idea. In our weakness, God is yet strong in the person of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. The third thing I want to leave with you is know that God is powerful. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What is your weakness? Maybe it is a son, a daughter, that hasn't quite turned out the way that you hoped that he or she would. Maybe it's a business situation that has gone wrong. Maybe it's the coronavirus or a medical diagnosis. Maybe, like Paul, it is insults, hardship, or persecution. Whatever it is, Paul says that he will boast in those things because when we are weak, God is yet very strong, very mighty, and very powerful. The greater the problem, the greater Jesus is in you. If you would trust him, you might be hearing voices telling you to give up, to quit, and to let go. But I'm here to encourage you, don't stop. Never give up trusting God. When we are weak, then he is strong. G. Campbell Morgan said, "We must interpret circumstances by God and not God by our circumstances." We see God in his activity. He has demonstrated his holiness, justice, and love at the cross. There is no reason why we should ever question his love because of the great manifestation of love that he demonstrated at Calvary. He sent his son to die for us while we were yet sinners, according to Romans 8:32. God does not change in his eternal attributes. When we are in an hour of extreme difficulty, we can be tempted to judge God by what we are experiencing. But the reality of God's eternal presence compels us to re-examine the dark hour. We have hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. In his impressive dialogue with God, the prophet Habakkuk asked a hard question that troubled the minds of men. What Habakkuk was questioning was much like what we see in our experiencing today. Why do we have to witness the violence, the iniquity, the pestilence, the weakness, the destruction, and the perverted justice? The Lord God told Habakkuk, "I am doing something in your day you do not know, and you wouldn't believe it if I told you." God was using the circumstances to accomplish his eternal purpose. I am raising up the Chaldeans. God is awakening his people. When the Lord treads the winepress, he forces us to live out what we are in the inner person. He forces us to reveal what is on the inside of us. He will not allow us to say that we are one thing and be something else in life. Habakkuk learned that the terrible invasion of the Chaldeans to put his trust in the eternal God who sees the end from the beginning of all calamities. So it is vital that we trust God now. "Yet I will exalt the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." This is seeing God above the circumstances. When we see the circumstances through God's eyes, we are transformed. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet as hinds' feet and makes me to walk on high places. Habakkuk was hiding in God's power. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was his refuge. He was and is. His ways are everlasting. The eternal principles have not changed. May God give us grace to see his hand in the midst of our circumstances. When we are overwhelmed by the present, we are inclined to ask, "God, why are you silent?" The Lord God told Habakkuk, "The righteous live by faith." So I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to live by faith. That is the only way we can see our circumstances change, is we must live our faith. I don't know about you, but as for me, the Lord is my strength, and in him I will put my trust. The question becomes, will you join me? God challenges us to trust him. God challenges us to look past our situation and our circumstances and to put our trust in him. The word of God for you, people of God. Amen.